The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now, I have told you." My brothers and sisters, in the resurrected Jesus Christ, how good are you at making predictions? Have you been able to keep every promise you've ever made? How good are you at predicting the trajectory of your life over the next year, 5 years, 10 years? Career, relationships, health. If I was to ask you if you ever made a promise 4, 5, 10 years out in the future, did every single element of what you prescribed in that promise come true to its nth degree? Anybody hearing that would say, of course not. No one is capable of doing such things. You could take anybody from the history of humanity and ask them about such things, and they might throw up their hands in despair and say, "Who do you think I am, God?" Well, exactly, right? Who else but God can make promises that are so amazing, so beyond the understanding or the comprehension of human beings, and then make every last element of it play out to its fullest in exactly the time and the manner, in the places, with the people predicted. In many cases, hundreds and hundreds of years earlier. If anyone promised they would take their life back again after death, we'd look them in the eye and say, I either think you're crazy, or I want to know what you know, that you believe that, and you believe that's actually going to happen. I mean, we've heard stories about the very famous actor or actress who back in their high school yearbook predicted that one day they would win an Oscar, you know? And we've heard of athletes and others who predict, sort of like Babe Ruth calling his shot that time at Wrigley Field, what they're going to go out and do, and then some of them deliver. That confidence, that swagger is born into some people. You've heard of doctors or lawyers who, in their youth, wrote, predicted, told their families, their friends, whatever, but laid it out. This is who I'm going to be. This is what I'm going to do. This is how I'm going to change the world. That confidence is admirable. But the reality is, more often than not, the people that get that cheeky with the future, they only have comeuppance coming their way. And the easiest way to prove that is to study history. Because some of the most powerful people in the world who thought big things about themselves are the most famous for overreaching and pushing for that last big brass ring they had predicted for themselves and failing miserably and losing everything. And so look at these verses from the gospel and listen to the angel tell you, don't look for the dead among the living. There's no reason to be looking for the dead among the living. He told you what would happen. And now it has. The angel could have been somewhat sarcastic if he had really chosen to be. I mean, he could have been looking at these women and saying, why in the world would you be looking for Jesus here? I mean, come on already. How many different times did he have to tell you and all of his disciples exactly how this would play out? It wasn't just once, it wasn't just twice. And then on top of it, how Jesus took a measured approach of making sure you understood that was already predicted long ago. Go to Isaiah 53, which we read on Good Friday a couple of times. And when you read that whole chapter, you realize the resurrection is right there for all of the world to see 800 years before this moment when Jesus rose from the dead. Yeah, the angel could have been a little snippy, a little impatient, saying, come on already, people. Get it together. Focus. Realize what you've already been taught for years is simply playing out exactly the way God has been promising it all the way back to the beginning, all the way back to the world's first sin. God promised then and there already the crushing of Satan, which is the moment of resurrection. I heard again yesterday on the radio somebody quoting a famous author who spoke about Easter Saturday as the only day any year that God is dead. And God's not just dead, but God is in hell suffering for us. And don't listen to that and believe that for a second. The scriptures clearly teach that Jesus went to hell, descended into hell after being alive again. It was a victory parade. It was a celebration. He went to hell to look the devil in the eye and say, it's done. You're crushed. Death is over for anyone who believes in me. I'm heading back now, and you just try to stop me. He didn't have to be there. He was there by choice. He had already experienced hell on the cross when his Father abandoned him. He, in the agony and suffering and all of the cost of our salvation and the forgiveness of our sins, he had already experienced hell. Now alive again, he's proclaiming his victory. When he comes to earth and speaks to people who need to hear his voice and need to see him alive again. And think on that for a moment, going back to the 1 Corinthians passages from a few minutes earlier. Hundreds of people, 500 and more, all were eyewitnesses of Jesus. And think of how that played out in what was happening in those moments there in Jerusalem leading up to Jesus' death, and in the days surrounding his death and in the months following his death. Who else knew that Jesus had predicted that he would die and rise again? Every single enemy of his that played a role in his death. And what were they worried about after they had succeeded in killing him? They go to Pilate and say, this man said he was going to rise on the third day, so let's make sure there's a guard posted and a seal on that tomb and absolute lock solid certainty that we can prove that he didn't rise from the dead on the third day. What a beautiful thing when he does, and those people are forced to pay off those frightened, terrified guards to lie about what they had seen that day. Can you imagine that there wasn't a significant amount of expense and time spent by the enemies of Jesus trying to prove that he was still a dead body somewhere? In fact, again, if you study the pages of history, you'll find that unbelievers throughout the millennia, for hundreds and hundreds of years, have continued to invest their money and their time, their science and their philosophy in proving that the resurrection never happened just as he said. How is it that not a one of them has ever succeeded? How is it that they've never found that grave, never found that body, never found any record anywhere of anyone being able to prove, not in the immediate moments after or for all the years since, that Jesus didn't do exactly what he said he was going to do? It's because God keeps his promises. And when believers read what is laid out for us in a gospel lesson like this on Easter Sunday, our hearts warm and thrill with this reality of what it means for us. The angel was patient, because the angel knew this was all part of God's long game, There was no hurrying on Easter Sunday apart from the human beings who were trying to figure out what was going on. They're running everywhere. But the principals, the people who have to share the news and straighten things out, they're patient and clear. They do their jobs well. And think about it. When was the last time you heard an angel telling human beings really important news that had to be remembered forever by all people? The night Jesus was born, the bookends of Jesus' life. You've got the angel saying, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Is it the same herald angel that's assigned this most honored task to now sit in the tomb and wait for the women to arrive to proclaim to them, look, the Savior I pronounced to humanity all those years ago has now completed his work. He has risen just as he said. Clearly, if it was only at all left to the human beings involved, the information might be a little sketchy. Because Peter and John and Mark and these emotional women as well were all in a fog, all fuzzy about what they were experiencing and what they were thinking, and so there is certainty. God provides us certainty. God speaks with his own voice, and he speaks with the voices of his messengers, his angels, his heralds, and make sure that we know without any doubt whatsoever that Jesus is risen. And he's risen just as he said. And for believers who hear that last little bit, just as he said, it reinforces in us how important it is that the Holy Spirit works in us to listen to everything that Jesus has said. Because he's told us so much about himself and about us and the world in which we live now and the world that he's preparing for us. There's a really big book full of everything that he has had to say. It's important for us to remember that John, in the first chapter of his gospel, says, the Word became flesh and lived for a while among us. This Jesus who is now risen from the dead, just as he said, he has said a lot of things over a long period of time about a lot of things to a lot of people, but all of that meant for you and I, for our eyes and our ears and our hearts to ingest and embrace and grow faith and perspective and the desire to live for God and thankfulness for his salvation. And so you and I hear, just as he said, and it urges us onward. What else has he said? What else do I need to know? What else has he promised? What else is he going to fulfill for me? The way he has risen from the dead. So that I will be certain that all of his promises are kept. Read on and discover that in Romans, Paul tells you without any lack of clarity that this rising from the dead is your guarantee that God has accepted Jesus' payment for every last one of your sins. There is now no condemnation in Christ. If he was a sinner like you and me, if he was an ordinary human being like you and me with two sinful parents, being born with a human sinful nature, he'd still be in a grave somewhere. He's alive. Because he was holy and perfect and flawless and lived for his Father and lived for us, obeying every single law and command and edict of God and man in every way. Even when tempted, he was flawless in mind and heart, even in the things that people couldn't see. And that's proven in this moment. It's not just that he told us so. His being alive after dead proves it so. It also proves us all sinners. Because not a one of us, laid in our graves in a casket or cremated and scattered who knows where, is ever going to command our bodies to collect back together and overcome whatever malady or accident ended our lives and demand life back again. It's just not possible. It's not going to happen because we're sinners and we're broken and we're destined for death. He wasn't. His death was voluntary. His death was intentional. His death was the payment price for the sins of the world. And now he's alive. And because he lives, you too shall live. Because he lives, you know your sins are paid for. Because he lives, you know he's coming back to take you to that place that he has prepared for you to live with him in the perfection and the fulfillment and the wonder of a new heaven and a new earth after all that is broken about this existence is wiped away and purified and remade into something brand new and amazing. And so any given day, you can use this mechanism to speak your faith and to speak your truth to anybody else who's willing to listen. You can predict something amazing about yourself and your life. If Jesus doesn't come back first, you can tell anybody, I'm going to die just like everybody else. But then I'm going to wake up again, just as Jesus said. Not because you say it, but because he says it. And oh, certainly, there will be people around you going, oh yeah, good luck with that. But there's no luck involved. And the believers around you who hear that confession will encourage you, will reinforce what you believe. Likely with a simple response like, me too. I'm also going to live again. Isn't that going to be awesome? Amen. Now grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen.